I want a rodeo cheeseburger, some chicken fries, and a large Dr. Pepper. And that's in order.
He's still got a bad taste in his mouth.
This is horrible. This is atrocious, man.
Everybody's whacking along with the whackers.
The entire crowd is whacking. Don't you, when you see another man whack, don't you want to join him?
And he hates pets of all kinds.
You don't have the capacity to know what it's like. It's like a child that lost a puppy. Like a mother that's lost a child. Like a man that's lost his jerk towel.
And they have guys coming at the Hulkster from every angle.
Match made in heaven.
A match made in hell.
What about a jellyfish? Could a jellyfish be like a fucking badass heel?
Well, I mean, if we're having a match in the sea.
What the fuck? I'm better looking than Sherry is.
He gets out of the way, so Ted nails it.
It's a full-on Happy Gilmore situation.
So he's got a pole between his legs, and he's chasing Sherry.
Because I really wanted to hit Tito in the balls with the prod. Yeah, we got to get that cattle prod. So we can zap you in the mouth.
And that's an order. I rule, and that's an order. Ooh, that's making.
That's made in hell.
Yeah.
Would you be able to realize that this is the Hulkster of the 90s, brother?
In association with the Shining Wizards Network,
Girl Ray Wrestling Podcast presents
Year of Duke and Rogue. I'm your host, Duke, the Dumpster Bags.
The Serpent of Pleasure. And some Kevin.
And we are back with episode number 2 of season 9, and today we're covering WWF Saturday Night's Main Event 29. This is actually the last main event to air on NBC for like 15 years.
This one is? I thought we had one more to go.
Yeah, Fox picked it up.
Okay, so it's like, in association with Mad TV? With the Mad TV lead-in?
We'll see, man. I imagine it'll be a different presentation, you know, if it's, you know, a different
Married media. With Children? Was Married with Children around at that time?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure. That was kind of the flagship show of the Fox.
Yeah, it kind of launched it, didn't it? Interesting. Not so designing women, though, right?
I'm not sure what station that was on.
Seems like a CBS ticket.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll be covering that. That'll be our second to last episode of this season.
Designing women?
Maybe we'll slide it in there.
All right. I thought about that the other day. I was like, you know what? Dirty. Maybe we should do an offshoot of the Year of Duke and Rogue. And just watch a season of, you know, Designing Women or Perfect Strangers, Head of the Class. You know, any of those classic tickets.
I mean, we could give it a try. I don't think it'd be as fun as what we're doing now, but
really break it down though.
Just hit the high spots and the finishers and
no, a philosophical retrospective on each episode.
Okay. You ever listen to one of them shows?
No.
Do they exist?
Probably. Huh. I think we could do it. I don't know if we want to go Designing Women though. Maybe we would.
I've never seen it, so it could be great or it could be a piece of trash.
Murphy Brown?
Yeah, Murphy Brown.
Okay.
You think it's just an episode a piece, or are we going to go like every episode?
Yeah, get right in the guts of it.
Well, let's just say I'll consider it if the back catalog ends up disappearing.
I like that thought. Okay, let's do this then. We'll leave it to the listeners. If the back catalog goes away, we will accept suggestions on what 80s or 90s TV show we'll watch until they bring back the back catalog. Maybe it's Saved by the Bell, right? That's a good one.
I got to vote for Married with Children, man. That was a classic.
Yeah, but see, I don't want to go with one of the real heavy hitters, right? Want to go with something that maybe we don't remember.
Like Family Ties?
Family, that's a good one. Yeah, Family Ties. Growing Pains, maybe?
Step by Step.
Oh, man, I was a big step. I see that. I was a huge Step by Step guy. I think that wouldn't count. We got to get something. Yo, we got to dip our toes in a different pool.
Well, I'm a huge fan of the Hulkster, man. We're still covering, you know,
yes,
early 90s
yes.
Federation.
Yes, but this is different. This is for the show, the different show, the offshoot show that we do in case the catalog goes away.
So we want to pick stuff that we were not familiar with?
Yeah.
Okay.
Find real new loves.
Different Strokes.
Okay. Mr. Belvedere.
Wasn't there a College Years Saved by the Bell?
There was.
Maybe
Bob Golic was in it. Yeah, Bob Golic.
Any relation to Mike Golic?
Brother. Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. There's a lot of fun stuff out there, man. A lot of stuff out there.
A little Cosby action.
Fucking man, I love the Cosby Show. I don't know if I'm supposed to do that thing where I'm like, oh, but I didn't like what he did to those gals. Fucking Cosby whale's ass, man. That guy's fucking hilarious.
Throw an asterisk there. I love the Cosby Show, except...
Yeah, you know, except that, you know, he did the thing that you shouldn't do that. Yeah, but yeah. I'm a big Cosby Show guy, too, so that's probably going to get kicked out the window. Again, this is all hypothetical, right, for the listeners. If the catalog goes away and we can't bring you the Year of Duke and Rogue like you've come to know and love it, we'll bring you something else, similar, but it'll just be, we'll watch some other TV, see what happens.
All right.
Sounds
like a plan, man.
I like it. You want me to write it down? You think we'll remember?
Well, this episode is going to be out there, so I mean, even if we forget, I'm sure somebody will remind us. You know,
it's been audio cataloged.
It's out there in the cloud.
It's probably online. The cloud. Yeah, online. Yeah, I'm with you. Cool, man. We got a plan.
Well, back to the World Wrestling Federation here.
Oh, yep. Good idea.
This son of a bitch took place live April 15th, 1991, from the Omaha Civic Auditorium in Omaha, Nebraska.
Omaha.
That's the land of the Cold Stone, right?
Yeah, that's the Cold Stone's home native land.
Man, is he still bringing out the scoop?
Yeah, I haven't seen Cold Stone in a while.
Man, I hope he's still doing the deal.
I hope he's doing great, man. Cold Stone's a wonderful man.
Did you ever cross paths with him in the ring?
Well, you know, it's funny you mention that.
He give you the scoop?
Oh, I beat him.
You beat him? No way.
Well, okay. I'll shed a little bit of light on this. I've told this story before, I think, with the Brainbuster Boys, but yeah, I had a match with Cold Stone.
Really? A singles match?
Yeah, oh yeah, one-on-one affair.
You don't get too many of those being a manager.
You sure don't, but I did. And I gave him my classic move, the Nards Plow, put him down, covered him. And I got a one count. And as far as I knew, I was concerned, you give me a frown. What's the problem?
A one count don't do it, man.
No, but see, you didn't let me finish.
That's not a win.
No, you didn't let me finish. See, I was under the impression that the match was taking place under Filipino rules.
Who told you that?
Well, it was somebody did for sure, because that was my impression, was Filipino rules. And in Filipino rules, one count is over, right? So I low blowed him, got on top, and well, yeah,
got
covered him, got my one, and then he kicked out after one, which in my mind, I got one count. One's all you need. Why do you need more than one?
Well, we're not in Filipinia, man.
I know we weren't. But the contest, as far as I'm concerned, because all my contests up to that point had been contested under Filipino rules. So he kicks out, and I grab the referee, and I try to explain to him, what this is over, right? One, it's all you need, Filipino rules. Match is over, declaring me the winner. Meanwhile, Cold Stone's getting to his feet. Maybe it's not the best situation for me to be in. He makes his way up to the feet. He's in the corner. I'm yelling at the official. Ring the bell. It's over. I got the one count. You know, I said, you know what? Fuck it. I'm going to Irish whip this son of a bitch. So I go to Irish whip him. He does a little duck under and kicks me in the gut. Cold stone stunner. He got me for three. So he beat me. We're kind of 1-1 in my mind. Because I beat him in under Filipino rules. And then he got the three count, so that's the standard American version. So we're kind of 1-1. It should have been labeled a draw, but they gave him the victory.
So you're due for a rubber match.
Yeah, I'll put it for Tim. I'll put a rubber on.
All right. Maybe a like spoon on a pole match. Or scoop on a pole.
Scoop on a pole. That's not bad.
That's such a good prop. It's got to be used somewhere.
Yeah, it's like bigger than I am.
It's a giant ice cream scoop, right?
Yeah, it's what it is.
Yeah. Well, if you're listening, Cold Stone, we hope you're doing well.
Yeah, we really do.
So this sucker took place about a month after WrestleMania 7. And there's been some happenings between the shows, man. Let me tell you about it.
Please do.
So The Undertaker and Paul Bearer have debuted the Funeral Parlor. Ooh.
The Funeral Parlor.
Their first guest, the Ultimate Warrior.
Wait. The same one that Undertaker set ablaze to burn his parents and his baby brother in?
I'm not sure. This is the first we've seen of it, so.
So you think Ma and Pa Taker and Baby Kane are somewhere in the back?
Maybe this is a new parlor. Or maybe like later in the season he sets it ablaze. We'll have to see.
Okay. All right. Just want clarification.
So the Warrior was their first guest. And he was given the business and then locked inside that airtight coffin. Classic segment. We had like everybody from the back trying to get him out.
Yeah. Pat Patterson.
Yeah, they had tools and everything just trying to save the Warrior from that airtight. It's kind of a buried alive kind of situation.
Yeah, airtight my nuts.
They're really selling it being airtight, man.
I know that they are. They're not. And quite honestly, first guess, why the Warrior?
I think they're starting a feud, man.
That makes sense.
Second guest, well, Sergeant Slaughter.
See, that seems like a better guest.
He cut a promo on the Hulkster and introduced his new partner, Colonel Mustafa, a.k.a.
So,
the Iron Sheik.
I don't remember a lot about the Funeral Parlor. Is this like, is Paul Bearer kind of the Conan in this situation? And
yeah.
Undertaker's the, who's that, Andy?
Yeah, Paul's the driving force here.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean, Taker's there, and he'll, add in what he needs to. But, yeah, he's...
A little comedic relief from the Taker.
Yeah, he's got the... Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That was a good joke, Paul.
I like the segment, though. I mean, the third and final guest in between shows here was the Hot Rod and Virgil. So... they end up putting a Ted DiBiase wrestling buddy and a doll that looks like Sherry in the coffin.
Okay.
I don't know what you think of that.
I like it.
We also got the debut of Bruce Beefcake's Barbershop.
So that is an important show in history.
Yeah, his first guest. You got any guesses?
On the Barbershop. First guest on the Barbershop. I'm gonna say Hulkster.
So Earthquake was his first guest.
Oh, the Quakester.
Who's currently in a feud with Jake the Snake.
Okay.
So Beefer whipped out a plastic snake to scare the big fella.
Okay. Did it work?
He don't like snakes. And he ended up stamping on him.
Okay, so he's not afraid. Like Andre wasn't afraid of snakes. Quake isn't afraid of snakes.
That's what he's trying to say.
Yeah. You don't believe him?
But, I mean, whenever Jake whips that snake out, everybody goes running, man. What was your excuse for Andre, like, eliminating himself from the Rumble?
He had to take a shit.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. What's the problem? Well, you never had to take a shit before in your life?
Well, not in the middle of a battle royal, man.
Well, no, it's an inopportune time for you to get the brown call. But, you know, when it calls, you got to answer it.
I suppose.
Yeah.
Speaking of battle royal, we got our 20-man battle royal later on.
I like that.
And the WWF did WrestleFest in Tokyo a few days after Mania. Just busy times for the Federation.
Yeah, good for them.
And the main event of that one, the LOD defeated Hulkster and Tenryu.
Weird.
Not caring.
Yeah. And the LOD won?
Yeah.
Was Hulkster not portraying the face?
I didn't see the show, but if you'll remember, they told us that Tenryu was like the most popular guy in Japan.
Right.
And if we're being honest, Hulkster's the most popular guy in America here, so probably a face-to-face encounter.
And LOD went over.
They picked up the win, yeah.
Huh. Sucked me sideways. I would have not guessed it to be booked that way.
And then the that infamous incident with Katao breaking character against the Quake took place there as well.
Katao! Ki-ai!
And last but not least, IRS made his debut. So he's
win.
Yeah, he's recently had a health scare. I thought maybe we'd have to deliver a moment of silence, but as of right now, you know, we'll save that for later.
You know what's going to be funny is that when this episode comes out and he's already gone.
Well, we'll see about that. We're pulling right for you, IRS.
Yeah, we're... I'll do this.
Hang in there, big fella.
Yeah, horny fucker.
The show starts off with Vince and the Macho Man, Randy Savage. We're told the Pipe is going to be joining them later. That should be a colorful threesome. Oh, yeah, I was just going to say, Savage talks some smack to Hogan and Slaughter, and we get the, you know, main event montage. What do you think, Savage in the booth, and then the prospect of Piper later?
So Savage in the booth, it takes me back to the first season we did, because Savage in the booth there.
Oh, yeah, first show, and he came out on the sedan.
And sometimes I think I really like Savage in the booth, and other times I don't know what he's fucking doing. It's been in this situation, it's weird because he's not a face yet. Even though he had the whole interaction with Liz and everybody cheered him and he did the good guy thing. But he's not really portraying the face. He's got more heel tendencies in his commentary. I don't know what Mach is doing right now. I don't think he knows. He's confused.
Yeah, I think so too. I mean, I don't think you can go from being a dastardly bad guy to a good guy overnight.
Well, but he helped Liz, remember? He helped her with the ropes. That was a thing. Liz forgave him, so shouldn't everybody else? Is that how it works?
He's still got a bad taste in his mouth from, you know.
Liz?
Because she got that stanky pussy.
Oh, Mach, he's pretty quick, man. He went from booth to now he's in the back with Slaughter and Mustafa and Adnan.
He's a sprinter.
And they reminisce about Sarge's win at the Rumble.
Yeah, I didn't take much away from the Sergeant Slaughter in the back and Mach in the back segment. Undertaker's hat is hanging on a hook in the background, which I found to be funny, but I don't know that a lot of people would be like, hey, look, he's got Take's hat. Like, I don't know. I saw it back there. I'm like, that's fucking funny. You figure somebody would pick up on that. Like, hey, shouldn't Take's hat not be in the Sarge promo? Just got a kick out of it. And then what did he say? He's like, I'm going to take more than your breath away. That's an order.
That's no, it's an not. Order.
That's not an order. That's not an order.
No, we'll see more of this later, too, and we saw it at Mania, but Sarge don't make a lot of sense because he closes his promos with that's an order, yeah. But it's never preceded with like an actual order.
No.
An order is like something you want them to do.
Right. You think that Sarge, when he goes out to eat or hits the BK drive through and he's like, I want a rodeo cheeseburger, some chicken fries, and a large Dr. Pepper. And that's an order.
See, that would make a lot more sense because that is an order.
That is an order. That would make sense. You're right. Do you have onion rings?
That's an order.
Oh, man. That's a question. That's not an order.
Man, speaking of like flame broiled action, yeah. So we're showing WrestleMania after the match where Slaughter throws a fireball in the Hulkster's face.
Oh, no.
So this thing isn't over, and that's an order.
That's an order.
Then we got Gene with the Warrior. We're showing that funeral parlor footage I was telling you about. Gene asks how that's going to affect him tonight.
And you think fucking Warrior answers it?
No, we get... I mean, what do you think here, man? I mean, he talks about being born in darkness, and we see a lot of... This is an uncharacteristic Warrior promo.
He's a
jackass. He's got some dynamics. Man. He's not just yelling the whole time.
He's pretty much saying just... He's spewing trash out of his mouth is all he's doing. He doesn't say, I was born in the darkness and I had to acclimate to the light of this new world. Like, take it easy, Columbus. And then he fucking... and then he's like, this guy, what the fuck was it say? I'll take your final breath. Final thought. Final vision. Would you finally just shut the fuck up? Like, I don't. Gene asked you a question. And it's like, before going in, he knows. He's like, no, I'm going to say this instead. I don't care what Gene says. Mm-hmm. Gene could have asked him fucking anything. Anything at all. What size shoe you rocking there, Warrior?
I was born in the darkness. Like, no.
Hey, what's your favorite food?
I was born in the darkness.
He never answers the question. How is this going to affect you?
I was born in the darkness.
And he talks about destiny all the time. You don't fucking know anything.
He's like, all about destiny with the Warrior.
Destiny and final visions.
Just as I was going to take my final breath and have my final vision. And whack my final whack.
So it doesn't sound like you're any bigger of a fan of this little more subdued Warrior.
No. So he's different than we saw him last time. I'll give you that for sure. He's got a lady's haircut, right? We can say that. He's got a lady's haircut. Lady of the times. He looks different. He doesn't look right. Even though he's not just screaming his promo about the rocket ship. What happened to the rocket ship? If he was born in darkness, what happened to the rocket ship? They don't need rocket ships just in darkness. Unless he's just talking about space. You think space he was born in dark. Space? Space is dark. Pretty dark place. Yeah.
Parts unknown, that's pretty dark spot, too.
But do you need a spaceship, rocket ship, to get to parts unknown?
I think you probably do.
Warrior's an alien? Is that we're going with?
I think that's part of his deal. Okay. He's always talking about, like, other worlds and stuff, you know. Yeah. He's never making any sense.
No, of course not. He hasn't acclimated to the language of this world. But that's his destiny, you know.
Right, he's still coming around there.
That is his density.
I mean, it's good to see that he's got his pep back in his step and he races out there this time.
He does race out there, but it's fucking funny because he's gassed when he gets to the ring. he's puffing so hard.
You know what's funnier than that is, like, he's all jacked up, you know, and Sarge climbs to the top rope. When you got a perfectly, like, you know, jacked up Warrior right there ready to slam you off. I get he's probably going for a sneak attack, because I didn't see that coming, but pretty foolish.
So two things, right? First thing is, he's not expecting to be Warrior to be ready for him off the top, right? So, right, I think that's maybe a good move. Maybe three things. Second thing, Sarge is not known to be a top rope guy. So you're really doubling down on that, like, surprise attack from above, right? Mm. Mm-hmm. out of the blue, sneak attack. Where is he? He's up top. Oh, shit. Here he comes. Third thing is the actual approach. I think they went, Warrior said, by the time I get down there, I'm going to be pretty gassed. Maybe just slam you from the top and buy me a little bit of time. No, I can't put you on the top rope. Why don't you climb to the top rope and I'll slam you so I can get my wind back? Because you know, I just ran down there, of course.
Right.
This fucking guy.
Yeah, Sarge just bumps his ass off for the Warrior.
I'm kind fucking...
underrated seller, this guy.
God damn it. I'm glad that you said that. That was so like I have very limited notes because this match kind of sucks, but Sarge bumps his balls off. And I posed the questions to the guy to the guys in the Wizards chat. And I said, hey guys, Sarge an underrated bumper? Nobody agreed.
Well, and I you started watch like watching shit, man.
I started watching more Sarge. This motherfucker can sell and this motherfucker can bump. I like Sarge. Sign me up, and that's an order.
That's an order. That's an order.
I'm a fan of Sarge as well. So he employs some dirty tactics to get the upper hand on the Warrior and then distracts the ref so his henchmen can get some shots in. And it's at this point that I'm saying to myself, like, there's got to be some sort of a limit to the amount of, like, associates you could have out there. Because I'll give you one, right? But any more than that, I mean, one is a massive advantage.
Yes.
But now he's got two out there.
He's going to
have four pretty soon.
Yeah, well, Bear starts pushing the damn casket down there. Same one as we saw in the parlor.
Where is Jack Tunney? Is he on vacation? This is just bedlam.
This seems like a good spot for Tunney to show up.
Yeah. Because you're right. I mean, Slaughter locks in a nasty bear hug, just thrusting away. Warrior breaks it. Savage called Warrior a coward.
Yeah.
After he breaks the bear hug, but then he locks in again. And then we see Bear pushing that airtight coffin out there.
Yeah.
So now we're at 3-on-1.
Well, I mean, what's inside the casket?
Well, Warrior looks confused. And we get some classic faces from Paul Bear. He's just funny to look at when he's making them faces.
You sound like you're talking about a child, like a little baby in the crib. He's just funny to look at. Look at that guy. He's just funny to look at.
Look at him.
Look at him making the faces.
Well, Paul opens that casket, and the Undertaker was in there the whole time.
Oh, shit.
Sits up and stares down the Warrior. Look at the look on his face.
Look. Look at the look on this guy's face. Look how good he looks.
And at this point, I'm kind of disappointed because Adnan just says, fuck it, and gets in there.
You didn't like that?
Gets the DQ. It's like, no, man. At this point, somehow we still have, like, a possible, you know, resolution to this match. We got four guys in a coffin against the Warrior.
Kill the Warrior.
But then, I don't know if they're just running out of time at that point, but Adnan just, and then we get everybody ganging up on the Warrior.
Which is good.
Then out comes the Hulkster.
Yeah, I don't know why.
That's also good, right?
Nah, don't save the Warrior.
You're happy to see the Hulkster, though?
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'm happy to see him. I just think that, you know, this is a poor decision.
I kind of like how they... I never like a DQ, but I kind of like how they're building this Warrior-Taker feud, because after Hulkster saves his ass, Warrior goes off the ropes and tries knocking down the Taker, but nothing.
Well,
he finally gives him a bonk and he goes over the top, lands on his feet, and we get a tense stare down.
Yeah, but before that happens, though, Hulkster hits Take with a belt shot to the face.
Oh, yeah.
Take doesn't give a shit.
No.
Which is a little worrisome from like a sell job standpoint. At the same time, like he's at this point, he's still not selling a fucking thing. But it's kind of a weird visual to see Hulkster hit a guy with a belt, right? Heel move. And then the guy that he hit, nothing, didn't buckle him.
Talk about strapping it to a guy.
Yeah, he's got one of those Warrior rocket ships strapped to his ass.
Now, I'm not sure if they ever, you know, I don't recall a big blow-off match between Warrior and Taker. What do you think of that feud, though?
I think that Warrior has the same skill set as the other guys that they wanted Taker to face. Limited.
Right. But that, I mean, that shoots the Taker out there, right?
Yeah, of course it does.
For sure. So after that melee, we're going to get sent back to Gene ahead of the tag title match. So he's with the champions, the Nasty Boys. They're just yelling away how the Whackers aren't nasty enough. What do you think of this? This is just nonsense yelling. I didn't think it could get worse than Mania, but it's right there.
This is horrible. This is atrocious, man. And I'm like, I'm not anti-nasty. But good fucking Lord, what are we doing? Like, so
it's Knob, pretty awful.
Knob screams so much that the mic has a hard time like picking up the frequency that he's hitting. He sounds like Sam fucking Kinison.
Oh yeah, Kinison. He's a big figure at this time.
He sounds he's going like for that. That's what he sounds like. I'm gonna rip it, you stinking head. I'm gonna stick it. Run that by me again, Knobs. Could you explain to me what you're gonna do? I'm gonna rip off your stinking arms. Shit, no, don't like. It's so bad. It's just it's rough. I did get a kick out of how like Sags was like, "Whoa, you're not nasty. You're gross." It's like, are we just doing? What are we doing here? Right? Aren't we just kind of explaining different shades the same thing? Right?
Like, yeah.
Isn't this like is this cutting up the difference between like brick red and dog dick red? Like, stop it! Like, nasty is gross. It's the same fucking thing.
Oh, well, we're set to the Whackers. They're in the back with the Hot Rod. And the Hot Rod asked them what they think about, you know, not being nasty enough. And we get some yells from them, and then it looks like Butch is going for the Hot Rod's ace.
Yeah.
Creeps up behind him, hikes up his skirt.
And then he goes for the shrimp on the Barbie, I think is what he called it. Which still throws me off. I don't know why it does, but shrimp on the Barbie is an Australian thing, yeah?
Yeah, they're from Down Under.
Okay. Is New Zealand also part of Down Under?
I believe so.
Okay. Because they're New Zealand men, I believe. So it always throws me off. Like, they're making, so I don't know, maybe, I don't know much about that geographic location. Like, I don't know much about over there. I'm ill-equipped to really give you an answer on this.
Yeah, it's part of, it's just south of Australia.
Okay. Where's Antarctica then?
Oh, way down south.
South, even more south.
Like the bottom of the world.
Huh.
Actually, believe it or not, you know, Australia and New Zealand are kind of part of the same part of the world as where, you know, Superfly and Bob Marion and Haku and all those guys are from. It's in that Polynesian area.
It's a Polynesian area.
Yeah. And Australia and New Zealand are by far the biggest islands.
Okay, that makes sense. Question for any of our Polynesian listeners. The Polynesian sauce from Chick-fil-A, you guys really making that shit? I'd like to know.
Yeah, let us know, man.
Yeah. Appreciate it.
So we got the Whackers getting a much-deserved world title shot here. And this is a just a full-blown melee. The crowd loves them. Everybody's whacking along with the Whackers.
The entire crowd is whacking.
Mm-hmm.
How could you not, right? Don't you, when you see another man whack, don't you want to join him?
Well, that's the, I mean, the spirit of spreading the, spreading something, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, of course.
Spreading goodwill to men, right?
Is that what you call it, goodwill?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, you should get over here and swallow some goodwill. Where do you want this goodwill?
Savage says that the Nasties are the people's champions. But, I mean, for what this is, these two teams, this is kind of what you would expect, and it's kind of a best-case scenario with these two teams, right? Just a brawl, a melee. We get that, what do you call it, that the Whackers do?
I don't know. It looks like you're for the listeners, obviously, that can't see Duke. It looks like he's one of two things. He's either sawing something or he's jerking off a moose.
Battering ram, man.
Oh, got you. That is a battering ram symbol?
Yeah, it's like your head's there, right?
Okay. Oh, got you. I didn't see the hook. It just looked like you were sawing something or, again, jerking off a moose.
No, well, I could see how you'd make that mistake. So Vince says that Sigmund Freud couldn't figure out the Bushwhackers.
Yeah, and then Macho's like, what about Pavlov's dog?
What about Pavlov's dog? Yeah.
The fuck are we doing? You have the Nasties and the Whackers in the ring, and you're talking about the fucking philosophy theory? Like, no, wrong. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
Man, we get a healthy serving of Vince's famous, what a maneuver. No. And in this match, these maneuvers are just strikes.
Yes.
They're just kicks and punches.
Yeah.
But what a maneuver. We get the Whackers clearing the ring a couple of times, and the crowd goes wild. They get a pin attempt after several clotheslines. Almost gets a three, but Sags breaks it up in like the weakest way possible.
Yeah.
And then Knobs rolls up Butch, and then Sags, like, kicks his ass, his partner's ass.
Yeah.
That's supposed to give him some leverage. That was kind of sloppy Joe there. Yeah. Well, the whole thing was sloppy Joe, but.
The whole thing was. Yeah, the only things that, like, I enjoyed, one, the battering ram. I think I kind of like that move.
It's a cool move, man, and the Whackers are just over, like nobody's business.
Yeah, Whackers are way up on top. Fucking Knobs. He, you know how a guy will throw the kick to the back when a guy goes off the ropes? Like the illegal guy will kick the legal guy in the back.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, he throws a kick, but he kicks in the back of the fucking head. I had no idea that Knobs had that type of flexibility.
Yeah, me neither.
He was potentially a gymnast at one point in his life. I'm not sure.
Doubtful.
And then there was what I want to believe was a clear and three count by the Wax. I think the Wax really won the match.
They should be the champions.
They got the roll up, and then Sags put his foot, planted his foot right up Knobs' oversized asshole and got the win. You ever seen Knobs' asshole, by the way?
No, I'm hoping to keep it that way.
Okay, well, get ready. Double T, you want to go ahead and do me a favor and send Duke Knobs' asshole for me? Thanks, buddy.
Well, I know it's coming now, man.
Yeah.
We're set back to Mean Gene with The Undertaker and Paul Bearer. Paul says the Warrior should give in and look at the sunny side. Tate says he's coming for Warrior and he won't rest until the Warrior rests in peace. And we're keeping up with this just rapid-fire interviewing everybody trend. I like this next one, though. Gene's got Earthquake and Jimmy. Gene calls him a natural disaster, a little foreshadowing there.
Mm-hmm.
We're showing Earthquake giving Damien the sit. He says he hates snakes, and he hates pets of all kinds.
That's so funny. Like, I understand, like, I hate snakes, right? Just leave it at that. Adding I hate pets of all kinds, like, that doesn't make any sense to me. Like, motherfucker can't have, like, a parakeet at his house? He's going to fucking give the parakeet a sit? Can't have a hamster? Motherfucker can't have a gerbil, a cat? Nothing?
No.
Can't have a mini horse?
No, he's going to sit on him and kill him, man, because he hates pets of all kinds.
Such a weird thing to say.
Isn't that a heel thing to say, though? Right?
Yeah,
everybody at home's got a pet they love.
Yeah, most people got pets that they love. So I suppose if you really want to piss everybody off, you hate pets of all kinds. Goldfish.
He knows what he's doing.
Right? He just takes the fish out of the bowl, throws it down. Big sit. That would be I am an animal lover, right? I got myself a dog, right? I enjoy animals. I enjoy pets. I'm not like the Quake. But if you did like a montage of him squashing weird pet, like fake pets, of course, right? We're not actually going to kill anything. But like if he took like a goldfish, threw it down, sat on it, grabbed a hamster, threw it down, sat on it, guinea pig, sat on it, like just, mm-hmm. That would be a funny segment. They would catch hell for that. There's no way they would let that fly.
Oh, they're really putting it on the line at this time with, you know, some of their storylines. So, a pretty entertaining promo by the Quake. He's looking forward to that battle royal later. He's going to finish off the Hulkster. Oh, yeah. Oh, and we're set to Savage with Jake the Snake. Ain't going to be long before these guys are embroiled in a blood feud.
Mm-hmm.
Snake tells him he doesn't know how it feels to lose somebody he slept next to every night. So, like, he's sleeping with Damien?
I guess, man. I don't know.
You don't
have the capacity to know what it's like to lose, like a mother that's lost a child, or a child that's lost a puppy. Or a man that's late for work that can't find his car keys.
And Savage just lost his wrestling career. I think he knows how it feels.
No, you've never been in a parking garage and can't find your car. You know what it's like to lose. You know what it's like to go searching for your favorite pair of boxers in the morning. Can't find them. The amount of devastation you feel. You don't know what it's like. You know what it's like to not be able to come across your favorite jerk towel. No matter how hard you look, you don't know what it's like. It's like a child that lost a puppy. Like a mother that's lost a child. Like a man that's lost his jerk towel. I don't fucking get it, Jake. You know what it's like to lose something you've laid next to every night. Every night. You've laid next to it. You know what it's like to lose that.
Yeah, he whispers for a while, man. You got to give it to Jake, because in this era of everybody yelling at the camera,
yeah,
he's unique.
He is unique.
Different approach.
Yeah, just this promo
whispers
doesn't...
Whispers about not knowing what it's like. But he's got a new bag, man, with Lucifer in there.
That's the part that like I was like, man, you replaced that pretty quick, didn't you, Jake?
Back on the horse.
Yeah, I guess the best way to get over one snake is to get under the next.
Yeah. Man, so what do you think of this? Like, we got the battle royal here, right?
Yeah.
And while the guys are getting introduced, we keep getting sent back to, you know, guys getting interviewed.
Yeah.
That's a pretty efficient way of cramming a lot in, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that works. I mean, they're not going to show everybody coming. They did show, like, Boss coming down to the ring. Couple of guys, not a ton, but I didn't mind him shooting back to the Battle Royal participant interviews.
We've seen the Hulkster. He's got that bandage on his face from the fireball. So he's getting through the Battle Royal alive. He's ready to play by Sarge's rules. He talks about gasoline and chemical warfare and napalm, whatever it takes.
Right.
So we got the Battle Royal, man. Before we get into this melee, it is strange how they set up their shows back in the day.
Yeah.
Because this one, we got the main event is Mountie and Tito.
Yep.
Mania 7, the co-main event was Mountie and Tito. Unless this was just a, you know, phenomenal feud that I forgot about.
I don't think it was.
Mountie and Tito. Wouldn't you put the Battle Royal at the end or put Slaughter Warrior at the end?
I would.
Why do you think they set them up like this?
Time, I'm guessing. I don't know what time slot this is, because it wasn't this later on.
Oh, you think maybe they were like catering to when the most folks were going to tune in? Like,
yeah.
The hour or some shit?
Right, right. Hope that you hook them. Let them know the Battle Royal's still on the way. That kind of a thing.
I think this was like in place of SNL.
So that's like
possible.
It's like a 10 p.m. start, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, guys like you'd be dozing off before Tito and Mountie.
Oh, I'd be fucking asleep. I'd be trying to watch it on the cock.
Would you stay up for the Battle Royal at least?
No.
No.
I need my sleep, man.
I know you like your sleep.
I gotta try and get some, at least.
So I don't think there's any stakes involved here, but we got a 20-man battle royal.
So, Mean Gene does say in the interview, and I love that he said this, is that, you know, one, he said that he's going to have guys coming at the Hulkster from every angle, which is, you know, just funny. And I gotta say, please, obligatory OEME. And then he does say if you know, somebody's able to put the Hulkster out or win this match, that should put, you know, bode well for them and contendership. Something, you know, I'm paraphrasing, of course. But he makes mention of, like, hey, this would go, winning this battle royal with the champion in it's going to go a long way to, you know, maybe earning a shot, which is perfect. That's what they should do.
Yeah, Mean Gene, just on top of his game all the time. Mean Gene never phoned it in.
No, not until WCW.
Got a little feisty there at the end.
Calling everybody a prick.
Yeah. Well, the Earthquake is the Macho Man's pick. Full house in there. We got Superfly. We got the Tugster. Perfect. Many more. The first guy out of there is Paul Roma of Power and Glory. And then he takes Jannetty with him. And we see the Hulkster being a fucking heel, just wrapping some tape around the Earthquake's neck.
Yeah.
He's always doing the heel stuff.
He really is.
And then Vince calls Tugboat the big Tugster, and I just, that just stuck with me. Because he keeps calling him the Tugster.
Yeah. I think it's funny.
We got five guys trying to get Shawn Michaels out of there, but he manages to stay in. Warlord tosses out the Bulldog, followed by Superfly. Quake throws out Jake the Snake. And then Jake responds by whipping out his snake and scaring the rest of the competitors as we go to a commercial break.
So this is kind of funny to me. I'm watching this. And my wife's kind of sitting there next to me, and she says, like, I don't like how they use the snake. And I'm like, I get it. But that's a new snake. Molly's like, what happened to the old snake? I was like, well, they made burgers out of it. So she wasn't pumped about that. And I was like, but he's got this new snake now. You know, it used to be Damien, and now he's got Lucy. Name the new snake Lucy. I was like, yeah, Lucy's the new snake. And I'm like, but it's okay, you know, it's out there, it's doing its thing. And I was like, anything? Like, do you think anything would work or no? Like, she's like, what do you mean? I was like, you just all animals, probably not by ringside, which I understand. Like, I'm with, probably don't bring your animals to ringside. But then a jellyfish entered the conversation. Right? Now I know we got Jake the Snake. And then I was like, what about a jellyfish? Could a jellyfish be, like, a fucking badass heel?
Well, I mean, if we're having a match in the sea.
I didn't think about that.
So I think, well, like, they're a marine animal. They need to see.
Snakes can be as well. And we later on got the shark. It's a seafaring animal.
Are you talking about a wrestler being a jellyfish or his, like, assistant being a real
jellyfish? Like, you know, we got Jake the Snake and we got, I don't know, what's a...
John the Jellyfish?
Maybe John, maybe Mitch the Jellyfish.
So is he going to dress up like one?
I think so. Because I don't think that they really have feelings, right?
I think they're impervious to pain. I think you're right there.
Yeah. And they don't have a central nervous system.
Right. But they need the sea, man. So if we're going to, like, if they could battle, like, Bash at the Beach style.
Like a snake and a jellyfish in a fight?
Ooh, I wonder who'd win.
I could probably go jellyfish. Which makes it, like, that much better.
Yeah, I'd never thought of that, man.
Neither did I. And that's why I brought it to the table.
Okay. I mean, I don't think it's great, to be honest.
You don't.
But if you could tweak it a little bit.
Okay. Right,
we can come back to it.
What if it was a girl wrestler? Does that make it better or worse?
Like Jessica Jellyfish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see that.
A little bit better than as a girl. I wonder what that is.
Yeah.
Are jellyfish, do they have like boy fish and girl fish in the jellyfish community?
I'm not sure.
Neither do I.
I gotta believe so.
Yeah. I don't know much about like marine life, but a jellyfish is one of the more unknowns in my world. I saw one time.
They got a nasty sting.
Yeah,
I've
heard
that. That could kill you. So you'd have to incorporate that into your finisher for sure.
Right. A mask? Would you wear a mask? You'd wear a mask if you're a jellyfish.
You got to wear a mask.
Have to wear a mask, yeah.
With those tails or whatever they got.
Yeah, those
tentacles.
Those things flying. Yeah, that's a good idea, too. I think we're almost already there. I think we almost have already created the jellyfish.
Well,
what if it's like that's like part of his name? Like he had Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
Right. Jessica the Jellyfish Johnson?
Yeah, I want more of a feminine last name. Johnson's more masculine.
Hmm. Jackson?
Maybe Jackson. It's a lot of J's, though.
All right, I'm looking it up here, man. So jellyfish do reproduce sexually. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah? What do they got? They got hogs and slop, or?
I don't know what they got, man. They're like, I'm pretty sure they got to be in the water, though. It says they're a Medusa phase. I wonder what that means.
I don't know what that means at all.
It's probably got something to do with their tentacles.
Okay. These are interesting creatures. I think you could do something with a jellyfish.
All right. Well, yeah, let's keep developing the character.
Okay, right. Good idea. Yeah. We'll put a pin in it for now.
So we got a big old melee here, 20-man battle royal. The Tugster turns on Hogan and eliminates him.
I don't think that's a true turn.
It is every man for himself, yeah.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And they're getting thrown out at a rapid pace here. We got a final four of Bob Marion, Shawn Michaels, Greg the Hammer, and Mr. Perfect. We get a nice exchange between the future boy toy and Perfect. Previewing a future feud. Perfect gets the better of him, throws him out of there. Looks like Hammer's face push is continuing here.
He's kind of over now. Crowd was pretty hot for Hammer.
Pretty strong showing. And Perfect shows off why he's one of the great bumpers of all time. Just flying around the ring. Hammer goes to town with some elbows, but as he tries to eliminate Mr. Perfect, Perfect reverses the momentum, throws him out of there, and he picks up the win.
Fun little battle royal, man. Fun little battle royal. I like kind of what they're doing with Tugster and Hulkster. Michaels had a great showing, and it seemed like having Marty go out early was probably the plan, so you could see kind of what Sean could do, and you know, not necessarily in a full on singles capacity, but just to see if he could kind of stand out, and he certainly did in this match.
Mm-hmm.
Laughed my fucking balls off after the match was over because Randy did that thing where like. He just tells people what to do. It's like, you know, Perf wins. You get the 1 foot down or however they said no feet, but you can clearly see 1 foot hit, which is fine. You can do a 1 foot gimmick, and he just goes, "Go raise his hand here." Yeah. Like he just tells him, right now, go raise his hand.
Yeah, Vince didn't oblige.
No, he doesn't need to go. He's still. He's not even. He's still just a commentator. What the fuck is that going to do?
I don't know, man.
I don't know.
Well, he's used to being the Macho King and being able to order people around, I guess.
See, that would be an order.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to have Roddy Piper joining us here for the home stretch. We got Ted DiBiase with Sherry. Taking on Bret the Hitman Hart. So this is the beginning of the Hitman's full-time singles run, and what a run it was.
Pretty good.
So Brett's in the ring. We're sent back to Sherry and Ted. She says that he's a better man because he's got the monies.
Teddy's a better man. Scott's so fucking money, he's a better man.
Better man. Sherry just looking great.
No, she's not.
Man, in between shows, she tried to seduce Andre to let her manage him. And Andre smacked her ass, told her to get out of here.
Yeah. She's not looking good.
Oh, you are incorrect, man.
I am 100% correct.
Listeners, go check out the show. She's a babe here.
She's not a babe. You really lowered that bar, didn't you?
Man, I've always been a Sherry guy. You know this.
Yeah, I know. You got to work on that.
Well, Ted gets off to an early advantage for the Hitman. Gets some momentum and clotheslines him to the outside. And Hitman hits an over-the-top splash. Great support by the fans for Brett. He goes off the rope and Sherry grabs his leg. And then he brings her up onto the apron. Slaps on a chokehold. Getting real fresh here. And he gets out of the way so Ted nails her.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Ted lands a stun gun onto the Hitman and then connects with the P driver. Bail to the outside. Sherry gets some cheap shots in, and then Piper says that she hits like a mule and smells like one, too.
Best line of the entire show, right? And it's not even the mule line. It's the line directly before that. Sherry lays something into Brett, and Vince goes, "Can she ever nail ya?"
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, no. No.
Savage says he can verify that she smells like a mule. Sherry takes off her coat. Oh, yeah.
Oh, no.
Chokes Brett with it. Ted goes for that dream, but Hitman backs him into the corner, breaking the hold. And then Ted goes to the top, catches a fist to the midsection, does a flip. DiBiase's right up there with Perfect and Hitman and Slaughter. Just selling.
You think so?
Oh, Ted is a legendary seller.
I mean, Ted's real good at the sell job, but I think he might be just a tier below.
Think so?
Yeah.
I'd argue maybe that's his strongest attribute is the selling.
I think you're probably right, but I think, like, Perf is top tier.
Right.
You know, Sarge would be just below Perf, and then Ted to be maybe just a little bit low, you know, maybe a couple few down.
I mean, that's just your opinion, man.
That's right, though.
Well, I mean, we're pretty much agreeing that he's a great seller.
I think we are agreeing, yeah.
Yeah.
So why are you trying to make this an argument?
I don't know, man.
Yeah.
Sherry's got me all riled up.
She shouldn't. What is it, man? What is it? Is the face paint?
Oh, the face paint's all right, you know.
I used to paint my face. You didn't want to fuck me.
Well, no.
What the fuck? I'm better looking than Sherry is.
Nah.
Oh, hell yeah.
Nah.
I got a way tighter ass.
You're no Sherry, man.
I'm better.
Nah. You're not even in the same, like, you know, conversation, man.
I'm in this conversation. We're having it.
Nah. Well, Hitman makes a comeback. Hits several of his greatest hits till Sherry interferes again. And then Pipe's like, "I'm gonna fix this." And he leaves the booth, goes after Sherry, creeps up behind her, and grabs a broom from under the ring. Smacks her keister with it. And what do you think of this? He puts the thing in between his legs, right? And then goes chasing Sherry. So he's got a pole between his legs, and he's chasing Sherry.
So that, yeah, great call out, because that's the first thing I thought of, too. Like, one, like I have no interest in banging Sherry, but...
Man, you don't know what you're missing.
That's such a you. Well, neither do you. All right.
I suppose.
So... Like, what, why is it that, like, as men, we can't resist, like, we grab something, like, oh, yeah, this would be, this is my dick, this would be huge. You just, like, can't resist, like, putting it between your legs and be like, oh, check out now, look at my dick. It's a full-on Happy Gilmore situation.
It is.
But you can't resist doing it. Doesn't matter what it is.
It's true. I've done it, man.
Me too. With, like, some stupid shit. Like, I've been at the cab and picked up an axe and been like, ah, check out my axe dick. Right? You got a hammer because you're working on something? Well, I mean, not me necessarily, but, like, you're like, ah, hammer dick.
Yeah, it's tough to resist.
I don't get it.
Well, Ted goes for pipe and Brett follows him out, and then both men have been counted out. It was a good match. Would have liked to have a winner, but I mean, it was a good start for the Brett push.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, I don't like they did two matches with DQ finishes. Or not DQ, well, one DQ, one count out.
Yeah.
Sloppy finish. Like, give me something clean.
In a show with like four or five matches, that's
right. Yeah. Silverkill.
Our main event, Mounty will take on Tito Santana. Nice drop kick from Tito early on. Sends Mounty to the outside. He goes and hugs Jimmy. And then Tito comes after him. And we're told that Tito is one of the few guys to appear at every WrestleMania to date. That's a fun fact.
That is a good fact.
And we get Mounty with a half Nelson. Rams Tito into the top turnbuckle. Tito makes the comeback. It's a flying forearm. Goes for the pin. And then Jimmy comes in there. And then Mike Chioda, he's probably a rookie here. Real long, young-looking Chioda. He stops his count. I think we've probably gone over this, actually, before. Don't stop your count just because the guy's, like, on the apron.
Yeah, you should have to, you usually got to roll in, step out, break the count.
Yeah. So, anyways, Tito lands that jalapeno forearm onto the mouth of the South. Meanwhile, Mounty gets a hold of that cattle prod and just jabs him right in the neck with it as we get some electrocution sounds. He gets the win, and the Mounty is 2-0 in his series with Tito Santana.
So here's a question for you. Well, a couple. One, how good did the fucking flying jalapeno look when he hit Jimmy with it?
Oh, legendary.
There's not really much better flying forearms than that of Tito Santana.
He gets some serious air, man. And you're right, it looks great. He flies like halfway across the ring.
Guy is unstoppable. I'm a Tito man. Second of all, you hear the like the cattle prod, and you can clearly hear the sounds of the prod.
Mm-hmm.
And Tito's dead. The ref couldn't put two and two together? You know what I mean? Like what
like
do you
said, it's Mike Chioda, man. It's probably rookie mistake.
Well, okay, well,
let, you can chew.
We'll let it slide then. We'll let it slide. Third thing is I really wanted to hit him to hit Tito in the balls with the prod.
Yeah, man. I mean, this feud's only going to heat up probably.
With the cattle prod?
Maybe we'll get a, you know. You would hope that at some point during this run, he got somebody in the package with it, right?
I really do hope so, yeah.
Actually,
it kind of looked like he got Tito at the last event.
Yeah, I got him in the midsection. He could have easily redirected. Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I bet happens, though? If we do get a package prod, is probably somebody turning it on, Mounty.
Oh.
Because that would have been a huge pop, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Like,
how would you sell a prod to the package?
Oh, it's devastating, man.
Right, but do you like...
down for the count.
Do you freeze? Do you just fall over?
Oh, and you writhe in pain.
Okay. Maybe jump up and down a little bit?
I don't know if you could.
I don't know either. We've really got to get that pilot. What the fuck? We got to get that cattle prod so we can zap you in the nards.
Al told me that he's employed one of those.
In the nuts?
No.
Okay, well,
just cattle in general.
Okay.
But he told me that, you know, that would put you down.
In the nuts or just in general?
Well, in general, but in the nuts.
Okay.
It's got to be a killer.
Cool.
All right. Well, we get a couple interviews to wrap this one up. Gene is in the back with Sarge. He talks about Barry and the Hulkster, and he loves setting his face on fire. Says Hulkster may have won the title, but he's going to win the war because he rules the WWF. And that's an order. Again, not an order. In the traditional sense there. And we got Pipe in the back with Hulkster. Hulkster says he's going to be in Slaughter's face each and every day. And what you got to realize is that Sergeant's putting more fuel on that fire. Giving him more ammunition for the war. Talks about the Hulkster of the 90s having secret weapons. He's going to wipe Slaughter off the face of the earth. And what you going to do? And with that, episode 2 is in the books.
I rule, and that's an order. That's not an order again, Sarge.
Would you feel to realize that this is the Hulkster of the 90s, brother?
Dude. We can move past the fucking military stuff, I think.
They're keeping that feud going here for the foreseeable future, because, I mean, we're going to have the match made now. What'd you think of the show, man? Fun little watch.
Yeah, it was the tough part about this show is that it was an easy watch, but nothing super memorable. Like, I watched this, I think, four times. Watched it four times, noted it once. And watching the show, there was nothing like really stood out that you could go back to and be like, oh man, that remember that part of it? Like, that part was awesome. Nothing really fucking blew my balls off. Easy
yeah,
watch.
Right.
Easy yeah. watch. I think the best part of the match was actually seeing Sean get a highlight in the Rumble. Like, he looked great in the Rumble.
I like Hitman and Ted, too, before that, you know, double count
yeah,
out.
Before the count out, yeah. There. Yeah, of course.
So, yeah, we're seeing the, you know, two stars in the new generation here just starting out, kind of yeah. making their name on their own.
Yeah, so easy enough watch. So I'll watch it again.
But man, we're going to have 4 months of stuff in between our shows here as the Federation is going to go on a European tour. We'll update you with the highs and lows next show, but why don't you tell them where we're going next?
Well, it's SummerSlam, man. SummerSlam. The match made in heaven.
Match made in hell.
Match made in heaven.
A match made in hell.
And a match made in hell.
Match made in hell.
In hell. All
right. I might work that song out there a little bit.
I'm looking forward to this one, man. I know you got this one in a bin.
Match made in heaven, match made in hell?
Oh, yeah.
Match made in heaven.
I haven't seen this sucker in years.
Match made in hell.
Yeah. I'll
go Hetfield on it.
Hell. Yeah. Ooh, match made in hell. Yeah.
Match made in heaven.
Match made in hell.
The fuck we're doing. So that's, listeners, just get ready because there's going to be a lot of that next episode. We got on the card here. We're gonna have the Dragon, the Bulldog, and the Tornado. That's a couple of odd bedfellows there.
Hold on, they're on a team or three way
yeah.
dance?
No, they're on a team.
Oh, a team. Okay.
Yeah, a team, and they're taking on Warlord and Power and Glory.
Yeah, that's a weird combo.
Yeah, we got that Perf Heart match that everybody remembers, right? It's a good one.
That's gonna be a good one.
We got a little match between the Whackers and the Disasters. The Disasters have formed.
All right. We got stuff happening.
For the $1 million championship, we got Virgil versus Ted.
My belt's on, feud of the year.
Belt's on the line. Mountie versus Boss Man in a jailhouse match.
I remember that one fondly.
Yeah, me too.
So loser goes to jail, right?
Yeah, and I don't remember why I remember it fondly, so it might suck nard. We'll have to see. Nasties we'll see. Versus the Legion of Doom. It's for the Tag Team Championships, and that's a street fight.
All right. Game for that.
The Hammer versus the Shyster.
Okay.
In the main event, we have a handicap match. It features Sid Justice as a guest referee. It's going to be Hogan and the Warrior taking on the Triangle of Terror.
Match made in hell.
Match made in heaven.
Match made in hell. Oh.
You look forward to it, man?
I am. It's been a while since I've seen anything more than like the first couple of matches of this, so it part of me thinks it's gonna suck, but man, I'm gonna love watching it.
Alright, well, we're rolling here with season number 9. Thank y'all for tuning in. Next time we'll have that SummerSlam 91 for you. Until then, I'm gonna keep dumping some bags.
Pull it out.
Handsome Kevin.